Amen. What a glorious night that was when the angels sang glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as we think about that this morning and you think about peace, you can see peace in our own hearts during this time of year. It's a very special time of year, and you see peace in your homes. Your homes become brighter. There's a pep in the step. There's a joy in your heart. You go on the job, and we've been celebrating at Christmas at Quitman Junior High, the 12 days of Christmas. So I get serenaded every day by Miss Ballard and Mr. Hurst, and they bring by a candy cane or they bring by some chocolate, and they give us these 12 days of Christmas little gifts and everything. So it's exciting. We've been mandated that we need to decorate our door for Christmas. So everybody is in the Christmas spirit. There's some peace. There's some smiles. And so everybody's having a good time. You come to church in beautiful decorations. The church building looks marvelous. People are smiling. People are having a good time. People enjoy coming to worship the Lord. I even went to the mall to pick up a cookie cake for my daughter's birthday. It was me and a couple of my friends that were celebrating a friend of mine's birthday party. And we went over there to get the cake to bring it back for Jacqueline. And when I went in there, here's three guys walking around the mall. Now I take that back, four guys walking around the mall in their 40s. And Santa Claus takes time out from holding little kids and yells at us and says, Merry Christmas. And all we could do is Merry Christmas. The gangsters that are the Hispanic gangs, the African-American gangs that are walking through the mall, they look at these guys carrying a big old cookie cake. What's up, man? There's a peace this time of year among people, it seems like, that everybody has this joy in their heart. They have peace on their mind, and you can just feel that this time at Christmas. And so when you think about this today, I want you to understand two things today. Number one, that the only way you can experience peace this time of year is to have peace with God. And there's only one way you can have peace with God, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're saved this morning through Jesus Christ, then you understand not only what it means to have peace with God, but you understand what it means to have the peace of God. And we're going to talk about the two this morning, then we're going to dive into one verse, and we're going to break that verse down for us this morning. And I hope you can take some things with you. If you have pens and you take notes, that's fine. There will be some verses that I use that maybe you could look up at a later point. But in the Hebrew, peace, you know what it means. It means shalom. And shalom simply means this. It means a calmness, a tranquility between people, between groups, between nations, but especially with God. And my prayer today is that you do have that peace with God. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. The Greek, when you get to the New Testament, anini in the Greek simply means this, that you have peace, you have unity, you have one accord. If you remember in all the epistles that Paul wrote, Dr. Charles Stanley said Paul would usually write, grace and peace be among you. He always wanted to see a common factor in the New Testament church of the church being unified, the church being of one accord. He glorified in that. And I truly believe at New Hope Baptist Church, or any local church for that matter, if a church is unified, if a church is in one accord, then the Lord is going to bless that church. And how do we have peace among brothers and sisters that maybe we disagree with, our personalities are different? How do we have that peace among the body of Christ when we come here to worship? Well, the only way we can is to have peace with God, because He gives us that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, where you're able to cope with others when you come into contact with difficult circumstances that happen in the church, different personalities that happen in the church. And then, let's just face it, He gives us that peace of God in dealing with not only the wheat that's in the church, and there's going to be wheat in the church, but He also gives us that personality to deal with the tares that are in the church. He gives us that personality to deal with the sheep that are in the church, and He gives us that personality to deal with the goats that are in the church. So when we look at this morning, that peace with God is so important, because if you don't have peace with God, you can never have the peace of God. And so let's work our way through this morning. Alistair Begg, who is one of my favorite preachers, Alistair Begg said this. He said there's a lot of people this time of year have what he would call a fake peace. And this would be maybe the people that are goats, the people that are tares, the people that are lost. But they put a smile on their face and they act like everything is okay. They act like everything is just fine. But there's really no peace in their heart. And I worked with a person one time that was the most bitterest, most hateful, I don't know why they were called to come into education. And they told me one time, they said, "You just have to fake it till you make it." And so they'd put a smile on their face like they love kids, but when you'd hear them talk in the teacher's lounge, they hated kids. I don't even know why they were in education. And this person claimed to be a Christ follower, but in their attitude, there was absolutely no way they could be a Christ follower, because this person was what Alistair Begg talked about. Inside this person is a person of torment. Inside this person is a person of strife. Inside this person is a person of disharmony. Inside this person is a person of decay, of sin. Inside this person is a person of futility. Inside this person is somebody that is wretched. But they put a smile on their face and they act like everything's okay, but inside they are absolutely miserable. Miserable. And so how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? So today we want to talk about the peace with God. And this is not preached a lot because I guess it wouldn't be politically correct to say. But you and I were born sinners. That's the doctrine of original sin. That there's none of us in here righteous. The Bible says no, not one. None of us in here righteous, no, not one. So as we are sinners, we are enemies to God. We're enemies to God. God's wrath is upon us. And that is not popular to preach in pulpits today, because what is the false message been conveyed? Yes, God is love. Praise God for that. But you and I who were lost and separated from God, we are an enemy to Him. His wrath is upon us, and eternal damnation in hell is reserved. And so today, we have to ask ourselves a question. Do we have peace with God? Well, I'm so thankful to stand before you this morning and say that He gave us the opportunity. He gave us the greatest gift. He gave us the ability to have peace with Him. And the only way that you and I can do that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 lays this out perfectly. And I just want to read this to you real quick. If you're taking notes, you can write that down and read it for your own time. But Romans chapter 5 says this in verse 8, 9, and 10. God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, listen to this, this is why we're saved. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Through Him. Where does that wrath come from? It comes from Almighty, just, righteous God. He is the judge of all mankind. And so the next verse says, much more then, having been justified by His blood, verse 9, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How are we reconciled to God, church? Through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. How then are we saved? Well, He tells us back in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. My prayer today is that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. That there was a time that the Holy Spirit convicted you when you were dead in trespasses of sin.
that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you remember that time when the Lord took a hold of you, and oh, it transformed your life forever. That old creature that you were, praise God, that old creature went away, and all things become new. Do you remember that time of salvation? Oh, praise God for His glorious salvation. I remember that time oh so well. And so when we think about this morning, we know that the only way that we can have peace with God is to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. John 14:6. And I'm thankful to stand before you today and tell you this, that if Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, aren't you thankful in John 10:27-28, that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can snatch you out of the Father's hand? Aren't you thankful for that today? That's eternal security. I'm so thankful today that I don't get lost again. I'm so thankful today I don't have to be baptized 20 times like in some denominations. I'm so thankful today that I don't have to go to a priest every Friday and go and say my sins before them so that they can absolve me before the Lord. I am thankful today that I have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and He forgives all sin. Aren't you thankful for that today, church? That's the peace with God. The peace with God. And through this, what does He do for us? In the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23, what does He do? He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. One of the things that He does, He gives us peace. That anene in the Greek, that means what? That means we're going to have unity and accord, but first we've got to have unity and accord with who? We've got to have unity and accord with the Father. And if we have unity and accord with the Father, He's going to gift us, through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gift of peace. And so therefore we can do what? We not only have a vertical relationship with this peace, now we have a horizontal relationship with this peace, so that you and I can have relationships of peace with each other. Isn't this beautiful this morning, church? And so as you walk through this today, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers for what? They shall be called the children of God. They shall be called the children of God. Alistair Begg said this. He said, there is absolutely no time in a Christian's life where there should be fighting and fussing. This convicted me, church. This convicted me. I've got people that are estranged from me right now as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ, for whatever reason. And I don't want to be considered a troublemaker. I don't want to be considered somebody that is a divider. I want to be considered somebody that is a peacemaker. A peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? Because they will be called the children of God. People that come into churches and tear churches up. People that come into the job and tear people down. People in your own family that continually divide. Those people are toxic. And there's no way they can have peace with God, because if they did, they would have peace of God and they would be peacemakers among one another. Among one another. I hope this is making sense this morning. And so, Alistair Begg said we are called to live with other believers in three ways. We should be in humility towards our fellow members in the church. We should be gentle towards other members in the church. And we should be patient with other members in the church. Oh boy, does the Holy Spirit convict me this morning on this. We should be humble towards other people in the church. We should be gentle towards other people in the church. You're probably thinking in your mind right now, this person gets on my nerves, this person gets on my nerves. Lord, I need your gentleness. Well, guess what? When you have peace with God, He gives you the peace of God. And when He gives you that peace of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, guess what else He gives you? He gives you that gift of gentleness, of dealing with people, of dealing with people. And then He gives you this gift of patience, of long-suffering, of long-suffering. Guys, listen, there's going to be people that make you mad. There's going to be people that get on your nerves. There's going to be people that sin against you in the church. They do it in your family. They do it on the job. But we are to be a people that is long-suffering. We're to be a people that is forgiving. We're to be a people that is to be lights for Jesus Christ. And when you have the peace with God, He'll give you the peace of God. And there's no way that we can do it in our flesh. Because in our flesh, can I get honest with you today? We fail. We fail. But praise God, when He gives us that peace, oh man, it is a peace that is like no other. So, Alistair Begg said, in our own effort, we would be boasters. You know people like that? We would be crass and uncaring. You know people like that? This time of year, they're just crass. They're uncaring. They don't care about people. We would be impatient and we would be overbearing if we do this in the flesh. But praise God, through His Holy Spirit, peace is given to us by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Giving us the Holy Spirit, the Helper guides us. How does the Helper guide us? Now we get having peace with God, now going to having the peace of God. When He gives us this peace of God, Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's a neat Greek word, rule. It actually means to where we get the English word umpire or referee. I was eating lunch with a staff member from another church, a rather large, big church, and he was telling me about some issues they were having within their staff. And I was telling him, our staff's great. I love our staff. As a matter of fact, you know, the youth pastor, the chairman of the deacons, the music pastor, the pastor play basketball together. But here's the problem. The problem is we don't have an umpire, we don't have a referee out there to call fouls. And so when we're left in the flesh to call fouls, sometimes it can get very brutal, wouldn't you say, Brother Randy? He gets knocked to the ground. The youth pastor and the pastor blow up at each other. I get so convicted by that I have to ask for forgiveness after a basketball game, and John starts to pray with us because of this. And so when we let our own flesh try to rule our lives, hey guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. We'll fail every time. We'll fail every time. So Paul told the church at Colossae, he said this. He said, you be sure and let the God of peace rule, umpire, referee your hearts. And so how do we do that? I hope and pray you have a prayer life with Him today. I hope and pray that you read the Word today. Because when His Word speaks to you through the Holy Spirit, there's going to be things that come in your life that you're just able to handle. There's going to be people that come into your life that you're just able to handle. Not of your own effort, but praise God because of what He's given us through His peace. Randy prayed about this peace that surpasses all understanding. Paul talked to the church at Philippi about this. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. He says, do not be anxious about anything. You know, a lot of people this time of year, they worry about their finances. They worry about the struggles of family getting together. They worry about, when I look at my schedule, I can just get very overwhelmed because I got a dot on my calendar on my phone every day for something. And I just don't even look at it because I can just get overwhelmed. He says, don't be anxious about nothing. But what does he say? He says, in everything, by prayer. So when we go to Him in prayer, He says to do it through supplication. That means to, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You in my life. I need You to help me walk. Lord, I need You to help me in these situations. Supplication, thanksgiving. My prayer is that you're always thanking the Lord for His goodness, for His grace, for His mercy, for His love. And He says, let your requests be made known to God. And when you pray, I always try to tell people this. He gives it to us so simple. And I have so many people that come and say, hey, we got this load of problems. We don't know how to understand it. We don't know how to take care of it. Well, have you prayed about it? Well, no. That's the first step. And so when you start praying about it, He gives you what? He gives you, Paul says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And when He gives you this peace, Paul says to the church of Philippi, when you can apply this to the local church here at New Hope Baptist, that He will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Greek word guard is like a garrison. He puts a garrison of soldiers around your mind, around your heart, and He does this through who? He does it through Jesus Christ. So when I look at that calendar and begin to get overwhelmed and I start praying, Lord, just give me the strength to make it to this. Lord, give me the strength to make it to that. Lord, give me the strength to stand before this. Give me the strength to stand before that. And so as He gives me that strength, He does it not through the flesh of Michael Myers, but praise God, He does it through Jesus Christ. Are you praying this morning, church? Are you truly praying? Let's dig into this word this morning from Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6, you know this passage very clearly, and I want to exposit it this morning, but I want to really hit on that last phrase that Isaiah calls Jesus Christ. They've talked about their victory. They talked about Gideon's victory over Midian. They've talked about the victories that Israel has had. And then Isaiah prophesies that there's going to be the greatest victory of all. And that greatest victory of all is what we're celebrating this season. Verse 6, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, given to who? Right here speaking about the nation of Israel, but aren't you thankful that He was given to the world? And He says, "And the government will be upon His shoulder." There is a time coming, church. There is a time coming. The Lord sits at the right hand of the throne of God this morning, and He intercedes for us. Praise God. He's the advocate for us this morning, and He is in control this morning. And I don't care what the politicians say in our government. I don't care what the Israeli government says. I don't care what the governments around the world say. There is a day coming where the government will be upon His shoulders. And let me tell you, Isaiah described this in Isaiah 2. There will be peace in the valley for you and for me. There's a day coming where the lamb will lay down with the wolf. There's a day coming where the child will hold this poisonous snake. There's a day coming where there will be peace, total peace among the nations. Why do the nations rage? Because there is a day coming where the government will be upon His shoulder and there will be total peace. Oh, how I look forward to that day. And so Isaiah gives Him these great, great names, doesn't he? And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. In many Bibles, wonderful has a comma by it, and then counselor, that would probably be a misinterpretation of that, because the adjective would be wonderful and the noun would be counselor. And so when we look at this today, His name will be called Wonderful. In the Hebrew, it means supernatural. Supernatural. There's a lot of people that go to counselors and they get help from human counselors. And man, that may be great for certain people. But I'm here to tell you today, if you surpass the Wonderful Counselor, you've got it all backwards. All backwards. Because when you go to the Wonderful Counselor, the Supernatural Counselor, the Counselor of all counselors, who that word simply means in the Hebrew, that He is an advocate for us, the Wonderful Counselor, the Supernatural Counselor, He goes to God on our behalf. And as He goes to God on our behalf, God does not see us blemished with sin, but He sees us covered with His Son's precious blood, and He sees us as white as snow. Whoo, man. This is preaching grounds this morning, church. And so when you look at this Wonderful Counselor, this advocate for you and me, this one that stands before us, before Almighty God this morning, He is Wonderful Counselor. Boy, I could preach on that all day, but I'm going to stop, okay? For time's sake. He is Mighty God. Jesus always has been. Jesus always will be. Jesus is the Alpha. He is the Omega. I get really upset with people, and I need to calm my temperament on that, when people say, well, Jesus just came at the manger. Oh no, Jesus always has been. He's eternal. He is Mighty God. And when you think about Mighty God, He is God in the flesh. And you and I as believers here this morning, we rest our assurance on that. He is the Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father simply means this. He is our Father who is our advocate before Almighty Father. And what does He do? He always takes care of us through what? Through His grace. Aren't you thankful for His grace this morning? Aren't you thankful for His mercy this morning? Aren't you thankful for the love that He showed us as sinners this morning? Aren't you thankful as everlasting Father, He is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's always going to be there for us. I'm so thankful for that this morning. I've had friends leave me. I've had people forsake me. But praise God, my everlasting Father, He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. Aren't you thankful for His grace and mercy this morning? The last thing I really want to hit on before we leave this morning is the Prince of Peace. Shalom. The Prince of Peace. There's a prince that Paul tells us is the prince of the air right now. And that prince of the air right now that we live in is Satan. He is not all-knowing. He is not everywhere. But Satan uses his demons that fell with him from heaven to wreak havoc upon this earth. And there's been a many a people that Satan has done things in their life that has completely destroyed their hope, destroyed their peace, destroyed their joy, destroyed their love. There's been many demonic influences that's been in people's lives that's stolen. Because the thief, what does he do? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his nature. That's who he is. Paul talks about this. Jesus talks about his nature and what he tries to do to you and me. But aren't you thankful this morning? Praise God that we don't have the prince of this air. We have the Prince of Peace. And see, when you have the peace with God, now you can have the peace of God. And when Satan comes to attack you, praise God today, Ephesians 6, we put on that spiritual armor, and that spiritual armor keeps us guarded from him, from his demonic attacks. And what else happens? We're able to go out into the world. We're able to face the battles. We're able to face the circumstances that come to us in our jobs, in our churches, in our homes, with people in the community, whatever it may be, we're able to face that. Why? Because we have the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Whew, man. Let's talk about the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace is the propitiation of our sins, 1 John 2 says. The propitiation of our sins. This boggles my mind, church, that because I know how dirty I am. I know how wicked I am. I know how depraved I am. I know Michael Myers. And I know that he didn't come for the religious, he came for the sinner. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And there's so many people today that will tell you, oh, I'm not lost. I have people tell me all the time, I don't sin. You know, they don't believe. But let me tell you a true fact about every one of us in here. We're wicked to the core. And as we're wicked to the core, it boggles my mind how he could be the propitiation of my sins, how he could be the atonement for my sins, how he could be who knew no sin become sin for a sinner like me so that I could be seen righteous before God. I'm just enamored over his love towards sinners. And so this Prince of Peace, we think about this morning. I think about my life. I think about the dirty mistakes, the sinful actions, the reprobate mind. I think about all these things that I have done to sin against the Lord. And I'm thankful that He loved me while I was yet a sinner. And this Prince of Peace, where I was an enemy to God, and my destination was hellfire. My destination was damnation in hell. But because he loved me, this Prince of Peace called me to him, into his fold, into the sheep gate. And I was no longer a goat, but became a sheep, not because of my efforts, but because of his love towards a sinner like me. Praise his name this morning. The Prince of Peace. And so this time of year, when we think about the Prince of Peace, Patrick and I were coming over here this morning from his home in Lindale, and I've been playing the holiday songs in my truck to get in the Christmas spirit, right? And Elvis came on there, and he said, we should treat every day like Christmas. Well, we probably should, shouldn't we? Because if we treated every day like Christmas, we would see these themes that we celebrate in our personal life every day. And that spirit of peace would be something that everybody recognizes. And so I just want you to think about that this morning before we close. You may be in here today and you may have discord in your family. You may be in here today and you may have discord on the job. You may be in here today and you may have discord with a brother or sister or the pastor, I don't know, in the church. You may have discord in the church. I want you to dwell on peace this morning. Christmas Eve, 1914. You history buffs know 1914 to 1918 was the Great World War I. The British and the Germans were trenched in trench warfare, killing each other by the thousands. And on Christmas Eve, as they were dug down in their trenches 6 foot deep, the German soldiers started lifting up candles and placing them on top of the trenches and lighting the candles. And in unison, all of the German soldiers began to sing in their language, Silent Night. Many of them had been trained by English soldiers back many years ago, so many of them knew English. And when the English soldiers heard that familiar tune of Silent Night, they began to sing in their native language, and they began to light candles on top of their trenches as well. The British soldiers started to climb out of the trenches. The German soldiers began to climb out of the trenches. And as they sang to one another this great melody that we know at Christmas time, Silent Night, they started to make their way towards each other. One historian writes that one of the British soldiers says, I don't even know why we're fighting this war. And as they laid down their weapons on that Christmas Eve night, they began to play soccer. They called it football, not our American football, but soccer. They began to play other games of tag and things like this in this cold winter weather that was happening here during this war of 1914, this Great World War. And in that process, they enjoyed the company of each other. They started to give each other gifts as they were away from home, of food, of candy that they had found, of alcohol, tobacco, anything, buttons, hats, whatever they could find. They were giving gifts to one another, and they were having a merry good time. And in this process of this Great World War of 1914 between two hated enemies of the British and the Germans, they laid their weapons down and they said either group could go get their dead and have a proper burial for them. Did you know, church, that this celebration lasted all the way to January the 2nd of 1915 between these two enemies? They'd laid their weapons down. How in the world could that have happened? The only way it could have happened is through the Prince of Peace. And my prayer today, as Christmas has an effect on you, my prayer today is that if you have conflict, if you have strife, if you have it in your own heart, let's get it right and let's have peace with God this morning through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you who are here today that already had that peace with God, but there's some things going on in your life. Can I get an amen? There's some things going on in your life that you're struggling with. And boy, listen, I'm with you this morning. Let's focus on the peace of God. And how do I get that peace of God? He gives it to us through His Holy Spirit. But you know what you and I got to do? We got to remind ourselves of the Word. We got to remind ourselves of everything that's going on that the Lord's giving to us. And you know what's going to happen when these circumstances arises? Praise God, He's already got the answer. Praise God, He already knew the outcome of World War I. He knew the outcome of World War II. He knows the outcome of your personal life. And the only way that you can have peace is to have peace with Jesus Christ. Do you have it this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this church. And Lord, I thank You for their understanding of peace. Lord, this understanding of peace that they bring it here to our church. And Lord, we have peace with one another. Lord, there's no sweeter spirit than to be found here in a church that is one of accord and of unity in You. And Lord, I just want to praise You for that today. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters out there that may be struggling with the peace of God during this Christmas season. And Lord, I pray that they reflect back on your word and they understand what it means to let you rule their own heart. They understand what it means to go to you in prayer because you give that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, there may be somebody here today that's an enemy of yours. Lord, I pray today is the day of salvation. Lord, so that they can have peace with you, so that they can experience the peace of you. Lord, we thank you so much for the peace that you give. And Lord, I pray that it not only dwells in our hearts this Christmas season, but it dwells in our hearts in every day that we walk with you. We love you, Lord, and we praise you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, thank you for being here today. As always, a beautiful lighting of the Advent candle of peace, and to Mark and Misty and Miss Kathy, phenomenal job this morning in the Lord. As we've gathered together, we will have a lot of different scripture, but the main scripture we want to focus on this morning is from the prophet of Isaiah, and I'd ask you to turn there, Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 6 this morning. If you're able and can, let's stand in honor of the Lord's word. And let's read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6. The prophet of old talks of Israel's restorations, of Israel's victories, of Gideon's victory over the Midianites. And there is a greater thing coming to the nation of Israel, and that is this incredible gift, the gift of the Savior. Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come into your house and to praise you through song, Lord, to study your glorious word. And Lord, I'm thankful for the songs that have been sung here today to bring you glory. I'm thankful for the testimony that we've heard. Lord, as we study your word, Lord, I pray for people here today that do not have peace with you. Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the ones here today that have peace with you, but for whatever obstacles or situations or circumstances, there is no peace of God in their heart because of these situations, circumstances, obstacles, whatever it may be. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit draw near to us today. I pray that your Holy Spirit convict us where we're wrong. I pray that your Holy Spirit encourage us in you. Lord, I pray today that through the preaching of your word that you alone are given the glory that you deserve. And Lord, I pray today that each person here under the sound of my voice can truly understand what it means to have you as the Prince of Peace. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And we give you all honor, glory, and praise in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, this time of year brings out peace among everyone, it seems like. You know, in your home, it seems a little brighter. It seems everybody's got a little pep to their step. It seems everybody's got a little smile on their face. You go into your job, and at Quitman Junior High, we've been celebrating the 12 days of Christmas. So my principal and assistant principal come to my room, and they serenade me, And they give me gifts for each day of Christmas. And this has been very humorous, but it's been also a delight in the afternoon when I get two turtle doves, not real two turtle doves, but Dove chocolate candy bars. And so I open them up in the afternoon to get that energy to keep on going. They've asked us to decorate our door for Christmas, so there seems to be a time of peace, even in the chaos of education. You go into the church when it seems like even in the church there's always chaos and difficulty. But at the Christmas season, it seems like everybody's got a smile on their face. Everybody's got a pat on the back for one another. Everybody's got a hug for each other's neck. And the church building just looks beautiful. The decorations, the tree, everything that's out, everybody's just in this Christmas spirit, so to speak. Even when you go out into the world, you see the people that are in the Christmas spirit. Jacqueline had asked me, I was going to my friend's birthday party in Tyler, and we had to go by the mall and pick up a cookie cake for my daughter. And as we're going through the mall, here's four 40-plus year old men walking through the mall, totally out of our element. And as we're walking through the mall, totally out of our element, Santa Claus stops himself. And he has little kids on his knee, and he puts them down, and he sees us. I guess he felt sorry for us. And he waved at us, and he said, "Merry Christmas, gentlemen." And we were, Merry Christmas, Santa Claus. So in that process, there's peace. We're walking through the mall, and we see the gangbangers from all different variety of races. And they see 40-year-old men carrying this big cookie cake, and all they could say is, "What's up?" Yeah, peace among everybody, right? So it seems like everybody has this peace in their heart. Everybody has this time of joy in their heart. Everybody is having a great time this Christmas season. But it goes a little deeper than that, don't it? When we get to the Word of God, we see the Hebrew word shalom. We see that when God talks about this word in the Hebrew, we talk about the calmness and tranquility between basically four different entities. There's a calmness and tranquility between people. There's a calmness and there's a tranquility between groups. There's a calmness and tranquility between nations. And my prayer today is this: there's a calmness, there's a tranquility, there's an assurance that you have peace with God this morning. Okay? The Greek word that we found in the New Testament for the word peace is the word anini. And it simply means to have unity and to have accord. As Dr. Charles Stanley said about the letters that Paul wrote to the local churches in the New Testament, in his writing he always would add, "May grace and peace be among you." Peace was something that Paul wanted the local New Testament church to have. He wanted the church to be in unity. He wanted the church to be in one accord. So we think about this peace with God today. As we think about this today, and we think about this spiritual harmony brought about by a person's restoration with God, this peace with God that Brother Juan read about this morning from the book of Ephesians, there is only one way that you can have peace with God, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing today that I really want you to walk away here from New Hope Baptist Church this morning. I want you to walk away here knowing with assurance that you have peace with God through His Son Jesus Christ. And I want you to walk out of the church today knowing this, that not only do you have peace with God, but you have the peace of God upon your life. Because it's important when you think about this Christmas season. So let's talk about the differences of these this morning. Peace with God. This is not very popular. It's not preached a lot today, but I think it's something that needs to be preached more upon. Sinners, can I tell you something here today? That you and I, before the Lord's grace was put upon us, that we were enemies to God. But so many people want to talk about the love of God. And he wants to talk about, these famous preachers want to talk about God's love for people that are in depravity and in sin. But let me tell you something here today, oh lost person. If you're here today in that state, in that condition, you are an enemy to God, destined for an eternal damnation in hell. That's not popular. That's not what people want to hear from the pulpits. They want to hear something that will tickle their ears. They want to hear something that will make them feel good. But I'm here to tell you today, oh sinner, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are destined for a place called hell. And that place right there is a real place. It's a hot place. It burns forever and ever. The worm is there that never rotteth nor go away. It is a fire that will never be put out. And I'm here to tell you today that the only way that you can have peace with God is to have His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today that He called me into His sheep gate. And as He called me into His sheep gate, praise God for His marvelous election. Praise God for His marvelous salvation. Praise God for taking a sinner like me. Man, I marvel over His grace. And I marvel over His mercy. And I marvel over His forgiveness. I marvel over His love. And so the only way that I could ever have peace with perfect God, righteous God, just God, the God of all gods, the only way that I can have that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. As Juan read out of the book of Ephesians, the blood that was shed for sinners like me. Romans 5, Paul talks about this. And he says that we're enemies of God. He says in verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." This enemy that we were to God. But can I tell you a little bit about God's love for you and I today? But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:1. He talks about this salvation. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us peace with God, is to have that personal relationship with Him. My prayer here today is that you have that relationship with Christ Jesus. Oh, how glorious it is to have that relationship. I can reflect back to the day that the Lord called me unto salvation. I remember it so well that while I was yet in sin, God demonstrated His love for me. That when I was dead in my trespasses and sin, and there's no way that I could call on God, but praise God that He called on me. And I'm so thankful today to stand before you and say that I have peace with God. This vertical relationship. Not because of anything that I've done, because all of us are unrighteous. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us in here have no ability in ourselves to do this. But praise God, He showed His grace on me, that this vertical relationship can happen through His Son, Jesus Christ. Man, praise His name today. I have peace with God. And so having that peace with God now gives me something that I could never generate on my own. I could never practice this. I could never go to seminars to get this. I could never sit through Sunday school to be taught this. But now that I have peace with God, He is giving me the peace of God. And now we're going to talk about this for a little bit. Because this time of year, it seems like everybody's short of peace. It seems like everybody kind of, even though there's peps to our step and things happen, Alistair Begg put it this way. You can tell between the wheat and the tares in the church. You can tell between the goats and the sheep in the church. Okay? And the way you do that, I worked with a very despicable person at one time. This person was, and I'm going to say this from the pulpit. This person had absolutely no business being in education. Hated kids. Hated their job. Hated people. And I'm thinking, why are you working in education if you hate people? Why? Hated every aspect about everything. And this person told me one time, as I was the administrator, they said, "You just got to fake it till you make it." And never smiled, never spoke to people in a positive way, never was encouraging, never, I mean, absolutely, I just couldn't imagine living a life like this person lived. This person claimed to be a Christ follower, but you never saw joy, you never saw peace, you sure didn't see love, You never saw these attributes of the Holy Spirit in this person's life. And in this person's life was absolutely miserable. And Alistair Begg says there's a lot of people like that. He says there's a lot of people that on the outside, they got that $10 million smile, right? They've got everything looks like it's going for them. Everything, you just look at them and you're thinking, wow, they've got it together. And inside, this person is going through all kinds of torment. Inside, this person is going through all kinds of strife. Inside, this person is going through disharmony with everyone around them because they have no peace with God. This person is suffering from the decay of who we are. We're all sinners. And this person is futile in their thoughts and in their actions because they are not driven by the Holy Ghost. And so I want to encourage all of you today to think about you. To think about you. See, when you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, there's going to be a peace of God that radiates out of your body. And so let's talk about this peace of God for just a second here. As we talk about the peace of God, this peace of God is given to us by the Holy Ghost through the fruit of the Spirit. We have the fruit of peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." So when you think about peacemakers, as you think about who you are today in peace of God and having the peace of God and the peace with God, I want you to think about this today. When I think about people that right now have disharmony in their families, can I get a witness? Have disharmony in their families. I think about people today that have absolutely no peace on their job because you work for fallen sinners. There's no peace on your job whatsoever. You deal with people in the world that have absolutely no morals, no values according to the Word of God, so there's absolutely no peace on the job. There may be some of you in here today that have no peace in your home. Can I just be honest with you today and forthcoming with you today? As a pastor, there's people right now that I don't have peace with. I don't have peace with unity and accord because of sin that creeps in the church. And boy, let me tell you, does sin ever creep in the church? And so when you think about this disunity, this disaccord, you think about this peace that you're supposed to have, this peace of God, that you're this unity and accord that you're supposed to have with your brothers and sisters, I want you to ask yourself a question today. Is this something you may be going through? Alistair Begg said this. He said, "There's no time for fighting and fussing among believers. There's no time for fighting and fussing among believers. We who are called to live with other believers, we should do it in three ways." He says we are to live in humbleness towards one another. He says not only are we to live in humbleness towards one another, we are to live in gentleness towards one another. Boy, is that tough or what, church? Gentleness towards one another. I know right now people's coming to your mind. Boy, they rub me the wrong way. Boy, they make me mad. That person grates on my nerves every time they come around me. Every time we're in a conversation, that person dominates the conversation and they've got to get their viewpoint in before everybody else. Okay? Gentleness. It talks about the third thing here simply being patience, long-suffering. This fruit of the Spirit that we're given upon salvation. This fruit of the Spirit that indwells in us. This patience to deal with people in the body of Christ. There's no reason that we should be in disaccord or out of unity with God and with one another. So I want us to think about that today. I'm so glad Patrick's back with us today. It's been a year since I've seen Patrick. And Patrick lives in a group home. Yeah, give old Patrick a hand this morning. Patrick lives in a group home for special needs in Lindale, Texas. And when we coming over here this morning, oh, Elvis Presley come on the radio. And Elvis Presley said that we need to treat every day like Christmas. Well, if you as a Christian and I as a Christian treat every day like Christmas, then what are we going to have? We're going to have peace with God, and we're going to have peace of God, and that's going to dwell in the body of His local church. So I want you to think about that today, and I want you to think about how we all fall short. Can I get a witness this morning? Paul told the church at Rome, Romans 12:18, he said, "If possible, so far as it depends upon you," he says, "live peaceably with all." Live peaceably with all. There's that unity, there's that accord that Paul talked about in his epistles. Alistair Begg said that when we try to do it in ourselves, and how many of us try to do it in ourselves? Boy, when I'm of the flesh, I'm rotten to the core. When I'm of the flesh, I'm dictated by emotion rather than guided by the Holy Spirit. And as I am dictated in the flesh, what happens? I begin to boast of my own good deeds and my own good efforts. How many have been there before? How many of us today not only boast, but we're very crass in how we come across with other people? There's some people in this church, and I'm just going to be honest with you. People walk by you and say hello, and you'd rather been spit on than been spoken to. And that's a shame today that we don't love one another and we don't have peace with one another in the body of Christ. We need to get along for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us in the church, and He's purchased us by His own blood. And so when we think about that this morning, there's some people that are uncaring. They could care less about people in the church. They could care less about people that are hurting outside the church. There's people that could care less about their neighbor that's missing from the pew that's sitting around them this morning. There's people that just have apathy because they're uncaring about relationships in the local church. And then I want you to think about this. There's people in the local church, when you try to do it in your flesh, what do? We're very impatient. And when we're impatient, what do? We snap at people, don't we? Right? And we become very rude. We become sometimes belligerent. And that type of attitude that people see among us, let me tell you why church growth doesn't happen like it should. It doesn't happen like it should because the sheep in the church are not shining their light what Jesus told us to shine. And you and I ought to have a peace, a radiance that is radiated out of us to others, where they see the peace with God, and then they're going to see the peace of God. And not only that, we have people that become not only impatient, they become overbearing. Why? Because they're selfish. They want it their way, right? You probably know people like that. There's going to be people today to sit back and watch. They're going to be the first to get in line back there at dinner today. Okay? All right? Because what they care about is their gut rather than caring about getting fed by the Holy Spirit through His Word. You watch people, and when you just sit back and watch, now nobody's going to be first today. Trust me, I know two that's going to get there in the front of line here in just a minute. But I want to tell you something. There's people that all they care about is themselves. All they care about is their needs. All they care about is their selfish desires. And hey, church, can't we fall into that trap sometimes? So, let's talk about the peace of God. Misty read an interesting verse, a verse that's a very encouraging verse from Colossians 3:15. Paul told the church at Colossae, he said, to let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Rule your hearts. I went to lunch about a month or two back with a staff member from another church, a bigger church. And we had a good visit together. We had a good meal together. And in that visit, in that meal together, he was just talking about, I wish our staff, and they're all full time, but I wish our staff had unity, and I wish our staff had one accord. I wish our staff had that. But we've got everybody going in all different directions. And I just had to brag on our staff here. I said, well, man, I said, our staff's pretty interesting in the fact that our youth pastor, our chairman of the deacons, our music pastor, and our pastor, we all play basketball together. And he said, wow, what camaraderie y'all must have. I said, oh, it's great. But I said, here's the problem. I said, we don't have a referee out there. And when you don't have a referee, Coach Moore knows this very well, when you don't have a referee in a basketball game, things can become very intense. And so when you have people that are rather competitive, that do not like to lose whatsoever, it can become very interesting out there on the basketball court. You see 53-year-old men hit their body on that concrete floor out there. And that's not very forgiving. You see a youth pastor and a pastor get tangled up on a post move. And a pastor loses temper. Can I get a witness today? And a pastor loses temper, and then after the game have to bring everybody together and say, "Look, Brennan, I'm sorry for the way that I acted." And the music pastor said, "Hey, we just need to pray as brothers in Christ." Yeah, we do. I bring this up to tell you this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. The word we get for umpire or referee is that Greek word rule. And when you and I in the flesh try to rule our own lives, guys, we're going to mess it up every time. Because we're going to do things of the flesh rather than things of the Spirit. So I would encourage you and I, myself, as we pray to God to have this peace from God, that we let Christ daily rule our hearts. How do we do that? If you have a weak prayer life, get ready for a bad life in general. If you have a weak devotional life in His Word and you don't read His Word, get ready for a wreckage of a life. Because I'm going to tell you, the only way that you and I, as sheep, can be equipped to go out among the wolves into that pasture out there that's pretty rough, when we go out there, the only way that we can be equipped is through praying and through the Scripture. And He gives us those things. The peace of God. One of my favorite verses is Philippians. I send this to many of you that may be going through strife, that may be going through troubled times. And that's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. And part of that scripture in Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this. There may be some of you in here today going through this. Michael, you just don't understand, dude. You don't understand what it's like. My finances are shot and it's Christmas time. Michael, you don't understand what it's like. My job has got so much pressure on me, and I've got to be at this party. I've got to be at this party. I've got to be at this party. I've got to be here. My calendar is so booked. You just don't understand what I'm going through. You know what? I may not, but the Lord does. Okay? And so this is what He tells us to do. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, boy, that's hard, isn't it? Some of you worry warts in here today probably need to dive into that scripture, right? Do not be anxious about anything. But He says this, in everything, go to Him in prayer. Now, He teaches us how to pray through this because He says, do it in supplication. Tell Him your needs. Tell Him what's going on in your life. There are times when I just have to be honest with the Lord. And don't you say some of those prayers sometimes where you're trying to conceal your inner thoughts to the Lord? Well, can I share something with you? Dummy preacher, He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. So it's best to just lay it all on the line. Lord, this is where I'm struggling. Lord, I am so stressed out that I've got to be here, 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 here. Lord, I am so stressed out. I can't do this without You. Okay? And so you're sitting there this morning and you're wondering how you can have the peace of God. Will go to Him in prayer and just talk to Him. And you know how when you start talking to Him, what will happen next? Paul says you'll do it with thanksgiving. Man, listen, I have so many blessings. I said at my little Abby and Macy's birthday party yesterday here at the church, I said the greatest gifts we could have ever got at Christmas, besides the Lord Jesus Christ being born, was little Abigail Hope and Macy Elizabeth, given to us by the Lord, to Jacqueline and I. What great gifts they were. So thank Him for the gifts that He's given you. Our God is a good God. And we need to recognize all the things that He does for us. And not only do it with thanksgiving, but Paul says, let your request be made known to God. Let your request be made known to God. Lord, I need to reconcile with my family member. Lord, I need to reconcile with my brother in Christ. Lord, I'm praying that You'll open the door to make this happen. And praise God, He is a God of justice. He is a God of righteousness. He is a holy God. And I am thankful today that God is on the throne and Michael Myers is not. Let your request be made known to God. Because what does He do next? This is what we need, don't we? He says that He is going to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, this time of year, there's a lot of people that suffer depression because family members have passed on. Families are split up. There's some people that don't know where they're going to spend their Christmas, and they don't know what they're going to do for Christmas, so a lot of people start hitting the bottle. A lot of people start hitting painkillers. A lot of people start coping in different ways on how to handle those things. Well, I'm here to tell you today, when you go to the Lord in prayer, this is what He does for us, children of God. He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. You can't go to your doctor and get that prescribed to you. You can't go to the liquor store and buy that. As a matter of fact, the only place you can get it is to have peace with God. Then He will give you the peace of God. And He gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding. And watch this. The next thing He does is He says He will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So watch this. When we pray to the Lord and we go to Him and we make our requests known to Him, we go to Him in thanksgiving, we pray to the Lord and we give Him all the supplications that we need to give to the Lord, He gives us that peace that surpasses all understanding, and then He guards our hearts, our soul, He guards our mind, and He does this through Christ Jesus. And as He does that Greek word guard means a Roman garrison. He's put a Roman garrison around your heart, around your mind, and He keeps you focused on the reason for the season. And the reason of the season is not what you're getting, but the reason of the season is the one that come to give it all, and that's Jesus Christ. Jacqueline and I know a story about a lady, and I could truly see her doing this. She didn't get what she wanted from her husband for Christmas. So she took the Christmas tree and picked it up, opened the door, and shoved the Christmas tree out in the yard. Now, could you imagine having peace on Christmas with somebody like that? But can I tell you, church, there's a lot of us like that. We're very selfish when we don't get the gift we want. We're very selfish when we don't get what we think we deserve. We're very selfish when we think that, you know, this Christmas is just messed up because I wasn't able to get a Greenberg turkey for this Christmas or whatever it may be. It's amazing to me what people get upset over. You can't believe what people get upset over. Hey, I don't need a gift under any tree. I don't need anything being given to me because, praise God, our Lord, He gave the greatest gift of all when He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. The peace of God. So today, New Hope Baptist Church, in our text, I want to quickly go through this and exposit this text in Isaiah. And as we look at this, I want you to think about in Isaiah chapter 9 there, verse 6. I want you to think about this prophecy and how it applies to you and I. For unto us a child is born. Unto us, talking about Israel, the covenant Messiah is given. And aren't you thankful that includes us Gentiles too? Isaiah said the government will be upon His shoulder. And all of God's people said amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen. I am so sick of government. I am sick of the policies. I'm sick of the inactions that people are forcing upon American people. I'm sick of world governments and their view on things that are so worldly and indoctrinated by doctrines of demons rather than by the Spirit of God. And I'm here to tell you today, church, that there's a day coming. And I believe that that day is coming very soon. That the government will be upon His shoulders. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He makes intercessory for you and I right here today. He is our advocate to the Father today. But there's a day coming when the government will be upon His shoulders. And praise God, His government will be perfect. Isaiah calls Him these wonderful names. You could take a Sunday apiece on each one. We don't have time. He calls him Wonderful Counselor. Some of your Bibles have a comma between wonderful and counselor, but it shouldn't. Because wonderful is the adjective that describes the noun. And it should be Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful in the Hebrew means supernatural. And counselor simply means to be an advocate. So you have a supernatural advocate by your side. Now I want you to think about that today, church. You have somebody that is advocating for you before the Lord as we speak. You have somebody that has advocated for you when He went to the cross and shed His precious blood, died on the cross, was put in a tomb, and rose 3 days later to what? To give you and I eternal life. Praise His name today. And as He does that, I want you to think about this. This Wonderful Counselor, He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, going to our Lord on behalf of you and I. He who knew no sin became sin. Now guys, can I tell you about Michael Myers? If Jacqueline come up here to give a testimony, boy, she could tell you a lot. And boy, it wouldn't be good. If Jerry and Cherie Myers come up here to give a testimony, they could tell you a lot and it wouldn't be good. I know how wretched I am. I know how dirty I am. I know how just dreadful I am. I know what kind of reprobate I am. I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I could have never learned that on my own. It had to be revealed to me through the Holy Spirit. And so as I was dead in my trespasses of sin, boom. Wow. This Wonderful Counselor shed His blood for a sinner like me. And as He shed His blood for a sinner like me, Almighty God doesn't see a blemish on Michael Myers, not because of who Michael Myers is, but because of who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is through us. And as His perfect crimson blood has been shed for me, the Bible says our holy God sees me as white as snow. Friends, that gives you peace. And as that gives you peace, we have this Wonderful Counselor. The way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him that has done that for us, O sinner. And then the second word that Isaiah calls, he calls Him Mighty God. Mighty God. When you think about Mighty God, He is the God in flesh. Hey, young people, listen to me today. Jesus just didn't start when He was born in the manger. Jesus always has been, always will be. He is God in the flesh. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He has promised His people that He is going to return. And I am looking towards that eastern sky to burst open any minute. And the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings come back for His bride. I await for that day. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. Aren't you thankful for that today? Some of your dads have gone on to be in glory, right? There's some of you in here today, you never knew your dad. There's some of you in here today, you never had a good relationship with your dads. Hey, did you know that when Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of your life, that you have an Everlasting Father? Aren't you thankful for that? You know, there may be some of you in here today, your dad's left you. Your dad's forsaked you. I'm here to tell you today, when you have an Everlasting Father like Jesus Christ, He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always there for you. John tells us very clearly in 10:27 and 28, there's nothing that can snatch you out of His hand. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? He is the Everlasting Father. He always has been. He always will be. Praise His name today. And we get to the last part of peace this morning. Isaiah calls Him the Prince of Peace. Well, Paul said that there's a prince of the power of the air that's out there today, maybe in here today. And that prince of the power of the air is what we know as Satan. Now, we know that Satan can't be everywhere at once. We know that Satan can't know everything at once, but we know that Satan attacks. Can I get a hearty amen today? Amen. We know that his demons that fell from heaven with him, that walked to and fro on this earth, the book of Job tells us, not in hell, but to and fro on this earth, attacks daily. And who does he attack? Guys, he's already got the lost. He's attacking you and I. When Peter talks about guarding ourselves, when Paul talks about guarding ourselves when it comes to Satan, he's always talking to believers. So you and I today who have been saved by grace, we need to think about the spiritual armor that we're putting on daily. We need to think about when we go into these spiritual battles, these warfares that entangle us, we need to think about this. Our Prince of Peace has already defeated the prince of the power of the air. Give him glory this morning. So you and I need to know this. Whatever you're going through, depression, finances, whatever it is, can I tell you something today? Our Lord has won the victory for us. And my prayer today is that you understand this Prince of Peace. This man that was God in the flesh, named Jesus Christ. When you have peace with God, then you're able to have the peace of God. And when you have the peace of God, it transcends to have unity and accord in the local church, in your family, on your job, wherever you go. There's going to be a peace that's been given to you that surpasses all understanding. On Christmas Eve of 1914, you history buffs know 1914 to 1918 was the Great World War I. And in that, we had trench warfare going between the British and the Germans. Many of you have heard this story before. And as they were fighting and killing each other, they had dug these 6-foot trenches so they could get in there and lay their weapons up on the trenches and shoot and then get back down for cover. And as they had this trench warfare fighting going on Christmas Eve night, the German soldiers, it's said by historians, lit candles and put them on top of the trenches. And as they were laying there on that cold winter night and those candles on the trenches, the German soldiers began to sing Silent Night, that song that we sing today. When the English troops heard that, they knew that tune and they began to sing as well. And as they began to sing as well, you could hear the harmony of voices all across that battlefield singing to the Prince of Peace. Historians tell us that it was the British that first did this, but they climbed out of the trenches. And as they climbed out of the trenches, they walked over and they started shaking hands with the German soldiers. One historian reports that one British soldier told a German soldier, "I don't even know why we're fighting this war against each other." And as they shook hands, one private wrote home to his mother in London. He said, "I was able to take a button off of a general's uniform from Germany and had that as a memento." He said that everybody stood up out of the trenches and everybody went to one another and they started trading gifts of food, of hats, of medals, of buttons, and yes, Baptist, even alcohol and tobacco. And as they started trading these gifts with one another, they began to sing this great chorus of Silent Night. This lasted from December 24th of 1914 all the way to January 2nd, 1915. How can two nations that hated each other, how could they come to peace on that Christmas Eve night? I'll tell you how. It's only through the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. You who are here today, the angels sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. My prayer for us today, church, is that you have peace with God so that you can have the peace of God. And when you have the peace of God, no matter what your schedule looks like, I look at my schedule on my phone and every day has got a dot on it. Y'all know what that means? Every day I got to be somewhere or do something. Okay? That can make you crazy. Okay? You say, "Michael, you're already there, dude. There's no help for you." Watch this. You've got all these things going on in your life right now and you think, "I just don't know how I'm going to handle it. Michael, you don't understand, Christmas for me is a sad time." Well, when you have peace with God and you have the peace of God, it becomes a time of joy
Because it's not about you. It's about our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your peace. Lord, there's no way we could have peace with you if it wasn't for your divine calling. Lord, I thank you so much for calling a sinner like me out of the depravity of sin. Lord, you took me out of that grave. You planted my feet on solid ground, the ground of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm in awe of that, Lord, and I just want to praise you today for that. Lord, I pray for the ones here today that do not have peace with you. Lord, I pray today that under your convicting Holy Spirit that today be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. I know families are struggling. I know that there's people in here today in this church struggling. Lord, I know that there's people that are going through things on their job. Lord, and they just don't know how they're going to make it. Lord, I pray your peace come upon them right here, right now. Lord, I'm thankful that we can come to you in prayer and you give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, that you guard our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, thank you for fellowship. Lord, thank you for the hands that's prepared food today. Lord, as we eat together and laugh together and smile together, Lord, I pray that we can focus on good things. And Lord, when we focus on things that are of lovely, things that are of good report, things that we should meditate on, Lord, like that, Lord, I pray that we always come back to our focus and our focus is you. Lord, thank you for being the Prince of Peace. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, thank you for being here today. As you know, we are having Christmas lunch back here. We want everybody to stay and eat. Please do so. We would like for our elderly that have a hard time getting around and maybe our disabled, if you will, to just go ahead after our song and go through this door right here and just make your way back to the fellowship hall. Our deacons and our ushers and anybody on our safety team will help you with anything you need. We have men available here to help you if you need help. So just if you would raise your hand, we want to help you get to where you need to go. After that, everybody else just follow in and let's just have a good time of feasting and fellowship. If you're able, come back tonight. We've been in the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs 16. We'll finish it up tonight. I hope you can come back for that. Next Sunday is going to be a blessing. It's going to be a time to have a big breakfast together. Then it's going to have a time for our Christmas cantata on the theme of joy. And then we're excited about all the other activities that's going on here at New Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for being here today. What a blessing it's been to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's stand as...